Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tawan Farmer. I am the second vice chair for the Metro Access Subcommittee of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. I am acting as the facilitator and acting chair for today's call. It is the objective of the myself and Chair Semelford, who is on the call as my support team. And as you know, Ms. Rush, as the first vice chair, to make this meeting an opportunity for everyone who's in attendance, both AAC and public, to have an opportunity to speak and that their voices may be heard. I must at least say, as a courtesy, the goal is to respect everyone's time. It is very limited. We will set timestamps, and unfortunately, I must say, it is not an opportunity for a personal conversation with Metro unless there is time to circle back at the end. And if there is, that time for the public is yours to use as we can best do that. I have no interest in interrupting anyone unless they do not respect the rules of the meeting. We will start by opening the meeting. So I call the meeting of the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting to order. We will get our initial introduction from Ms. Anu.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Paul, were you saying something? No.
I was going to add, T-Mail sent an email, and when we get to the agenda, we are going to, do what we need to do after the meeting in light of the agenda today. It is fully booked. Thank you. We will address the other topic you discussed in email right before, around 3 o'clock.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just like Mr. Farmer welcomed everyone, I also want to echo that. And this is the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, and today is July 15th, 2024. We did hear the announcement earlier that this meeting is being recorded. We do place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. So if anybody needs to listen to the meeting audio, you surely can do so. I just want to start off by sharing a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. And everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you need to raise hands, your virtual hands, you can click on the raise hand icon that will raise and or lower the virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be very helpful because it indicates that somebody is trying to make some comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I also request that everybody please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise and the meeting can run rather smoothly. Just reminding that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when you make comments, please state your name because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It's also helpful for people who are on the phone calls. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speakers were at the time. We also request speakers to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. Mr. Farmer, at this point, if you concur, I can go ahead and take the, I can read the meeting agenda and then I can take the roll call of the committee members.
Approved.
Okay, great. Thank you. So before I start reading the meeting agenda, I will share my screen. So if you can just bear with me for a quick moment, And when I have shared it, if somebody can confirm that the agenda is on the screen, I would...
I see it.
I can see
Great.
it.
Thank you. Okay. So after I finish reading the agenda, I will go through the roll call of the committee members, and then there will be a review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. Afterwards, we will take the commendations report, customer service report, and any outreach report, followed by Michael Wilson Award, as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. We will have the service providers today for dedicated service, as well as the OCC management. And for that, we have National Express, Mr. King, Marshall King, and obviously Mr. Blake. Chair Samerford is going to talk about Metro Access work plan. Terrian Williams Hall will give us an update about digital assistant, Where's My Ride capabilities. Mr. Blake will come back and give us an update about, excuse me, about Metro Access transportation options, followed by Metro Access August surprise. And then public comment period begins at 5:35, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. That is it for today's agenda. And just like Chair Samerford said, that there's recommendation to add a topic. If there is time permitting, we can do that afterwards. So I'm going to stop sharing the screen now. Going to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Alert. Now unmuted.
Thank you.
Present.
Thank you, Tino. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you.
Rico
Debbie
is here,
Fisher.
sorry.
I'm sorry. Rico is here. Thank you.
Yes, I couldn't find him.
Okay, no problem. Debbie Fisher. Debbie had actually informed that she may not be able to join today's meeting. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum.
Here, and one thing, I'm losing a lot of weight, so people think I'm losing weight because I'm sick, but I'm not sick. I'm just losing weight.
Okay, thank
I'm
you.
African American.
All right, thank you. Philippa Mazel. Sandy Newsell.
I'm present.
Thank you. Bill Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samerford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes today's roster. Mr. Farmer, I just want to include before we move on that when we begin our public comment section, each individual will have 2 minutes. If you're able to send me a chat message directly to inform if you'd like to make any comments, please do so. Otherwise, when we begin that section, if you're able to raise your hands, that will be helpful because then we know how many people are intending to speak and we can take the individuals in the order we receive their hands.
And
all
I
right.
Saw one comment anew from Ms. Rush wants to speak after any other members of the public at the end.
Okay, wonderful. I'll have that noted. Thank you. So, Mr. Farmer, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu, and thank you, everyone in attendance, both AAC, the public, representatives of Metro, and our supporting departments. So again, my name is Tawan Farmer. I am African American male, and today, coming from the office, I am wearing a red Veterans Affairs polo shirt. So we'll start with we just heard the agenda from Anu. So I need we have a chance to hear it. So approval of the agenda. Any modifications? We've heard that from Mr. Chair Semmelflor regarding the possible addition at the end. Any other corrections? Hearing none. Now we have the minutes from the last meeting that was set in June. People have had hopefully a chance to see that as well. Do we have any questions, corrections to the previous Metro Access Subcommittee?
Hearing the crickets on this, I hear anyone, I move to approve the minutes from last month as is.
Accepted. Thank you, sir. Okay, next we are moving into the reports. The first report is the accommodations, and that's Ms. Anderson.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Farmer. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm an African-American female with two-strand twists down to my shoulder. I am wearing a multicolored shirt today and middle-aged, so glad to be here. At this time, I'd like to present Mr. Dolan Chittums, who is with our QA contractor, NTM, to provide the public comment report from our last session. Mr. Chittums?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, African-American male, glasses, long locks, wearing a gray polo shirt. So during the AAC meeting held on June 3rd, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. In the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on June 17th, 2024, there was one outstanding public comment to be addressed, in which a member of the public expressed concern about the digital assistant, labeling her as a threat. The matter was thoroughly investigated, and investigators found no notations within the Metro Access scheduling / dispatching software labeling the customer a threat. Calls were also reviewed for the customer, and the investigators found no mention of the customer posing a threat. The customer has been contacted and informed of the findings. Now moving to the accommodation. During the month of June, Metro Access received a total of 454 accommodations. The recipients were First Transit with 73, Transdev 93, MV 116, Challenger 72, Next 79, MTM 1, Eligibility 0, and Abilities Ride 20. And this concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums, on that. Is it okay, Mr. Farmer, if we move to the recognition?
Yes.
Portion? Yep, all right. Yep. Thank you for that. Actually, in light of our transition as of July 1st to our new business model and our new contractors for the OCC and service delivery, we do not have that recognition, at least for this meeting, of the Michael Wilson Award and AAC Safety Award recognition. However, as we are transitioning to our new business model, we would like at this time to ask the committee to actually consider a recommendation, and that is of in moving forward, to have both the Michael Wilson Award recognition and the AAC Safety Award recognition become ones that we do on a quarterly basis. And with that, actually asking for the committee to consider picking this back up as of the October 2024 meeting. And under this framework, if agreed, the recognition for both of these awards would take place at the October 2024 meeting, the January 2025 meeting, the April 2025 meeting, and the July 2025 meeting. So we would welcome the committee's feedback as it relates to this recommendation.
So, Juan, how do you want to do this? Do you want to put it forth as is and then get feedback?
I can do that. So let's work through anyone, Anu. Do we have anyone from the AAC who might have comment on that request? I suppose we have to consider whether this has to be a motion to be approved by the AAC after the discussion.
So I would like to put forth Ms. Anderson's motion on the floor as is. Is there a second with discussion?
This is Sandy. I'll second that. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Okay. We've acknowledged that. Any discussion? Are we seeing any hands or any questions? Okay. Hearing none, I will put that up. We have it, primary motion by Chair Semelford and the second by Sandy Neusel. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Oh, okay. Okay. Those opposed? The motion approved. So we will make the adjustment according to the request by Ms. Anderson.
All right. I definitely do appreciate the committee, your feedback on that. And we will prepare for our first recognition at the October 24 meeting. Thank you very much.
And Ms. Anderson, is there any outreach reports at this time before we get into
I am not aware of any at my from my end besides the reports or anything that we get via email or phone call through the Office of ADA Policy and Planning. But I would like if Mr. Blake is on, he may have some outreach to report on.
Mr. Blake?
I don't know. Yes, sir.
Any outreach reports within the scope of the outreach report?
Yeah, no, none from me, although Metro Access did participate in the recent Metro Fest that took place at the, I want to say Springfield, but it took place in Virginia at the last station. And we will be in Prince George's County, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, I believe at the Branch Avenue station, but I will make sure Anu has information to share with you all about Metro Fest.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, where it's at.
Oh, great. Thank you. And so that's a great opportunity to come out, learn about some things going on with overall Metro, and just have a fun, good time and see some of the leadership of Metro as well. So Metro Access did participate in that. And I have a couple of community forums coming up, but I believe those are in August.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. We will.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Farmer.
Thank you. Thank you. We will now transition to Mr. Blake and Mr. King, who is the representative for our new company coming in regarding dedicated service. Mr. King, Mr. Blake, you're up. Mr. King, are you there?
I'm muted. There we go.
I am here. Mr. Blake, I think we want to probably pull somebody else to talk about dedicated service.
Right. Okay. Can you hear me though?
We can hear you.
Okay. There we go. So I was just saying, I was trying to say while I was on mute, this is a follow-up to the introduction you all received to Marshall King earlier this month at the AAC meeting. Transdev is the new OCC service delivery provider. They're no longer in the service delivery part of Metro Access. So that was We're going to bring the service delivery provider in next meeting, which is September. Although you all are very familiar with Robbie Worth, who works for National Express or their new name, We Drive You, and you're going to be hearing a lot about that. So we'll talk more about that as we move forward. But this was the follow-up to any discussions or questions, concerns about the call center tonight. So before we go into any questions or concerns from the AAC members, Marsha, did you want to give the committee, because the first time you were here, I believe it was the first day of the month, and that was the first day of the contract. So here we are now on the 15th day. Well, you showed up to the meeting, so Paul Semaford hasn't scared you off just yet. But is there anything you want to share about what you've experienced thus far in running the Metro Access Call Center, and what can the customers expect moving forward from you and your team?
Certainly. So first and foremost, I want to take this opportunity to introduce Grover Parham. He was initially our second in command here at the control center, and he will be taking leadership of the control center moving forward. So he's on this call today and he'll be listening in. I'm happy to speak today, but I just wanted to make that note for the record that Grover Parham is going to be our main point of contact going forward. As far as service goes, we've experienced a lot of startup challenges. We are not content or happy with where we're currently at. We are trying to make a lot of improvements, and there's a lot of moving pieces that we are getting locked down. So I apologize that we're coming in today's meeting having not delivered the stellar service that we would like to have provided to you, and that we certainly intend to provide in the future. So I make no excuses. I do give my apologies. And we're going to be continuing to improve in the control center from a reservations and dispatch standpoint. We have a lot of different things going on. We're continuing to hire and bolster our staff. And we're also in the midst of retraining all of our staff currently, both in reservations and dispatch, on both their call etiquette and the tools that are available to them to become better at their positions. We're currently working on a significant revamp of the dispatch department and transferring roles away from dispatch to the Where's My Ride function, which is a new department. So hopefully you guys have had some good interactions with those new Where's My Ride agents that we're calling DSAs. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're happy to listen to your feedback and incorporate that as we move forward. Our main goals right now are to continue staffing up, getting our schedules locked down and changing them from how they used to be when the prior contractor was in place to schedules that we think will be more suited to what the needs of the service are. Continuing to train our people towards what our expectations in Transdev are. There's quite a bit of culture change that we're dealing with as we're moving away from the way things used to be to the way things are right now. And I'm sure you guys are experiencing some of that on your end right now. So I ask that you bear with us as we're going through quite a significant shift in what our employees are experiencing. But at the end of the day, there are no excuses for any of the downsides that you guys experienced in this transition. And I want you to know from me that we're very committed to making this better, and that we're not happy with how things are now. So this is not how you should expect things to last forever. And with that, I will turn it back over to Mr. Blake.
Thank you, Mr. King.
And with that, so part of the challenges are definitely occurring prior to July 1st. And there was, when we talked about that at the last meeting. Can we say now that you are fully staffed? That was the first challenge, I think, that was being faced. Can we say now that the OCC is fully staffed? Or if not, where are we on a scale of 0 to 100% in terms of the staffing so that the customers no longer endure long wait times?
Yes, so great question. The answer to that is no, we're not fully staffed. We have had two more classes last week of both reservationists and Where's My Ride agents that we're bringing on board this week. Due to some challenges internally, not all of them are going to be able to get to work right away. We're still working out equipment issues there, but we expect them to be coming on board very soon. And then another wrinkle in all of that is that once we do have all these people, we still need to do a fairly large and extensive schedule change. The way things are currently set up right now, as far as people's schedules, we can't change overnight due to how the unions work here. But we do anticipate that in the next couple of weeks, where we're going to be doing a significant schedule change. And then we expect at that point that we're going to have people set up at the right time of day, and we'll have the correct number of call takers able to answer reservations and where's my ride call throughout the week and throughout the day. So two-part answer there. No, we're not happy with where we're at, and we are making progress on getting towards where we want to be.
And then I would just also just add, because I stopped by here Saturday to take a look at the staffing and see who's working, who's doing what. And I will always say, I will say again to the customers, I was here between, let's say, 11 o'clock in the morning and 2 p.m., and there were a lot of employees here working, especially on reservations, but not receiving a lot of calls. So again, one of the things I always recommend is try different times. Going forward, the idea that if you book your trip at 4:25 p.m., you're going to get the exact time that you want, well, that's not going to be quite the way we're going to move forward. So the idea of waiting to the last minute is no longer a good strategy for scheduling your trips. And it may result in you being on hold for a minute and 30 seconds instead of 5 or 10 seconds. So I've seen that with my own eyes. Like I said, just this past Saturday, I couldn't give them enough work because there weren't enough calls to come in. So take your opportunities, especially if you're booking those 3 and 4 day trips. If you're a dialysis pick, customer, you're booking 3 trips. I know a lot of customers do that on Sundays. You could try Saturdays in the midday as another opportunity to look at booking your trips. But with that, I see Chairman Summerford has some questions, and Ms. Coles and others, and I know Marshall. With Marshall announcing that Grover is going to take over, maybe Paul did run him away. No, I'm just kidding. But Marshall and Grover and myself will be here to answer any questions, but really, this is the OCC, so Mr. Summerford and others, have at it, as they say.
Mr., we'll start with you, Paul, and then we'll work the list as Anu has it, has their hands raised. Paul?
Paul, we can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. Just want to make sure I wasn't.
Paul, we cannot hear you, and you're not muted.
Who's our first person up within the AAC for questions for Mr. Blake or Mr. King?
Okay. That was Paul Summerford. Let's go to Vanessa, and we'll come back to Paul. He might be having some technical issues.
Probably on the train, the signal's probably poor. Vanessa.
Paul, we cannot hear you. We'll go to Vanessa and then come back to you.
Vanessa, are you there?
Please unmute yourself.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Vanessa, African-American middle-aged woman. I have my hair in layers and I'm wearing a black t-shirt. So my question, Mr. Blake, is regarding Uber trips. I noticed that sometimes when I get my link, it says round trip. It gives me round trip, which is really great because when the first part of the trip is done, it lets me know that the second half is done and it's much easier for me to get my trip. Why is that? I mean, are they putting them in different ways? Because sometimes I get my link and with my voiceover, I cannot even open it up. And then there's occasions when I can't. So are there multiple ways that they're putting these requests in?
Yes, ma'am. Great question. And it's something I'm working with Uber on to try to incorporate. So here's what happens. When you receive your Uber links at night or anytime you get them, when you're getting, let's say you have 3 trips and you're getting all these various text messages for the individual trips, that's when we're what we call bulk uploading. We're loading thousands of Uber trips at one time. And those are done one at a time. And that's just the nature of the system. They reflect your Metro Access trips, which are one trip at a time. Even when you have two, you know, a round trip on Metro Access, it's really two different trips. Now, if you call in the morning or in the middle of the day, or you would never do this, Miss Coles, I know, but if you ever call me and say, I forgot to book my trip and I just went on ahead and booked it on Uber for you. Yes, as a one-on-one trip, I can book it, or a staff member in the OCC can book it as a round trip. And you're right. What happens then is Uber sends you the link for your first trip, and only until you complete that first trip will you get the link for the second one. We believe that's a very convenient, customer-friendly approach. And so we're asking Uber and its teams to try to figure out a way that as it's looking through thousands of trips and trying to upload them and be accurate with the address and all that kind of good stuff, can you figure out a way to look at Vanessa Cole? She has five trips today. One trip is from point A to point B, and another trip is from point B back to point A, and be smart enough to book that as a round trip. It's challenging. It's difficult when they're trying to, you know, move thousands of trips and schedule thousands at one time. I believe eventually they'll be able to figure that out so that all of your trips can be scheduled as round trips where applicable. But unfortunately, it's not a tool we can use in terms of the large number of loading of trips. But we can do it on a one-on-one basis when you're talking to me or you're talking to a member of the call center.
Well, just to let you know, my trips are subscription. I'm just talking about my Monday through Saturday. They're the same time, same place going and coming. So these are subscription trips. It would really be nice if they could just be put in its round trip, then I wouldn't have to call in for assistance. It's just my observation. Thank you.
I understand.
Thank you. Anu?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Paul.
All right, so let me ask my basic question. So, Mr. King, hopefully you'll still be working with call center because you said someone else is kind of working in hand. But my question is, as I'm calling to where's my ride, I'm being placed for just simple questions on a secondary hold to somebody else. And I hope, you know, as we're improving our staff of the customer service, that does not revert back to that thing, to that type of culture with staff, where, you know, I called in, I got someone within 2 minutes, and a basic question about, I'm looking at my application, I see I have a late trip at the beginning of my window, could I request the Uber? And generally the agent is able to see that prior and to change over of staff, and is able to say, yeah, okay, you know, I put the request in or blah 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 blah, and you know, get me moving. This one agent put me forward to a secondary hold to someone else, and of course that was going on for 5 minutes. I sat there and, you know, texted Uber line, and that agent obviously was able to respond faster while I was still on hold for at least 5 minutes. So as Mr. Blake was emphasizing and you're emphasizing, and very pleased to see, hopefully we're not going to be in reverse in that type of culture as you're training agents that Where's My Ride agent should be able to handle 95% of things and not move it on to somebody else.
Yes, certainly. So thank you for that question. Allow me to clarify a little bit what we're dealing with on our end. So our model is to have the Where's My Ride agents to be a whole new group of people. They're all brand new right now. We're bringing them in as new hires. And they are, I mean, right now you're also going to be talking to dispatchers when you call in and ask for where your trip is at. But going forward, we're trying to transition that over to a new group of people, and not all of them have Uber Central access yet. That's been part of what we're trying to get figured out as we're starting up here. I do anticipate that we're going to have Uber Central logins for all those people by the end of the month. But right now it is just a process of getting them access to that. So Paul, what I think you experienced there was you probably reached one of our new people. They did not have access to Uber Central, and they were having to get help from a supervisor to get that sorted out. As you mentioned, that is our expectation because that is what dispatchers were able to do before when they called in and spoke to them about where your ride was at. So that is our expectation going forward, that all Where's My Ride agents are going to be able to help you out with moving your trip to an Uber, especially if you're running late.
In about a month or so, because I caught this from you last time, that y'all working on the process of getting some kind of app going. Can you speak more to that after 2 weeks? How's that, the trajectory of that, and what that might possibly look like?
So you're breaking up there a little bit at the end, but yes, I can speak a little bit about our.
No, I was asking that. You said you were talking about possibility of pushing out an app in about a month or so, and I wanted to get more information and see if there's any, what's the process or progress in working on that for, you know, as an option for customers to be able to do, you know, different functions, if that's coming to fruition. Because I know Mr. Blake put on pause the Find My Ride while obviously there's some more tools coming into place for customers to use who are able to use it.
Yes, certainly. So at this point, this is still on hold as we're kind of getting things under control in the call center. We do anticipate that it would be coming. I'm sorry, I don't have a clear timeline for you on that. We're just dealing with a lot of chaos in the call center right now. Oh, yeah. We want to make sure that we have our business straight and we're doing the best we can for all you and all the riders before we add another thing onto the camel's back there. So it is coming. I know that we still want to do that, and I'm very excited for what that's going to be able to offer to you guys. But at this time, we have not put a lot of focus on that.
And just the last point is emphasis again, because, you know, I'm speaking probably for most of the committee. Please don't forget us, especially those who need to use the phone. It sounds like you're doing is great progress in a culture transformation, and my greatest hope, it will be successful for all of our customers, where we're all served with, you know, excellent customer service on the phone all hours of the night, with the schedule changes where there shouldn't be gaps of time where, you know, you're waiting, it's late at night, and, you know, that type of thing, that it will take time, hopefully, and we will see these changes for the long term for all of us. So thank you. As I move to the next person.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, thank you, Mr. King, Paul. Anu, do we have anyone else from the AAC there?
Mr. Farmer, we do not have any other hands up at this point.
Okay. For those who are part of the public, you will have your opportunity to circle back and speak with anyone who is representing Metro or our team members like Mr. King during public comment. So your opportunity will not be, your words will not be, you know, left unheard. We will actually then transition to our next topic. That will be led by Chair Semelford. It is the Metro Access work plan, what we're doing for next year. As everyone knows, this is the last meeting of our internal fiscal calendar. We will not meet again until September. Mm-hmm. So, Paul?
All right. If you can share your screen, since I'm off... You know, I'm using my phone to conduct this meeting. I have it on me on my laptop, so I'm going to read into the tentative list, and then I'm going to open the floor to AAC members only to give input for topics, as you have done annually at this time period. In terms of topics of interest that we need to be discussing in September, as it relates to Metro Access Services. So one of the topics I've heard out clear that we're going to continue to hear from members and other WMATA representatives is abilities.
Paul, you're breaking up a little bit. Would you like me to go through the list?
Sure.
Chair Semelford, you're breaking up. Would you like me to read through the list?
Yes, please. Okay, yes, please.
So the first topic listed on this work plan topics, which is tentative for the year 2024-25, is abilities ride program and provider update. Second topic is metro access reservations. In parentheses, it says text, phone, email, digital assistant update. Number three, metro access, where is my ride update? Number four, metro access integrated app update. Number five, metro access metrics on WMATA website update. Number six, quarterly reports on metro access customer service satisfaction surveys. Number seven, next generation vans update. Number eight, metro access service area changes update. In parentheses, it says WMATA budget. Number nine, metro access customer guide updates. Number 10, metro access eligibility office update for in-person assessment and travel training. Number 11, metro access real-time information app update. Number 12, tour of the metro access call center. 13 is digital assistant, where is my ride capabilities update. And the last topic listed is number 14, that says metro access transportation options update.
Okay. Thank you.
Input from anyone right now.
So we're saying that we will take input from anyone on the AAC about topics you do not believe you've heard. We are open to, as it relates to metro access and metro access related features.
Okay, and Ms. Rush just raised her hand.
Ms. Rush, you have the floor.
This is Ms. Rush. We need to discuss the new vehicles, or the, you know, reviewing them. That should be moved up some, but what about the new vans?
We can have that added to the list for discussion as we go into the new year, Ms. Rush. Thanks for bringing that back full circle to our attention. Anything else before I see if we have anybody else?
Mr. Farmer, point of clarification. This is Zenu. Ms. Rush? So the Metro Access Next Generation Vans update is number 7. Are you recommending to move that up on the list?
No, I didn't hear it on number 7, but it should be important to us, I think, but I guess 7 is where it is.
Excellent. Excellent. So we have that one on the list. Anu, thank you for the quick, slip back in there to point that out.
Sure.
But it's good just to make sure in case anyone misses that. I mean, it's not like I might have missed it myself. So it's glad that we were able to recognize that. Anybody else anew?
Yes, we have Vanessa Coles.
Vanessa?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I've recently had some consumers to have some issues with recertification. They were calling into the system and were requesting an extension, and no one seemed to be able to help them. They had to call in a couple of times. So I think we need to readdress recertification eligibility issues so that everyone understands how that process works.
Understandable. We can actually have one of our people on the call from eligibility to review that topic in the future. And Anu, I believe we have a topic in our list regarding eligibility at some level.
Yes, it says Metro Access Eligibility Office update for in-person assessment and travel training. So as Vanessa was making comments, after travel training, in parentheses, I have added the recertification process to be discussed.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Vanessa, you'd like to add?
Yes, I've had also some consumers that live in D.C. Could we explain to them better how it's going to be working for them, seeing that everyone is coming from one OCC? Because they have had some horrible experiences with their transportation, the cabs and things of that nature, how it would be better for them now that we have reorganized.
Okay, we can add that as a topic of discussion. If there is time, it is possible that Mr. King, or I guess his predecessor, will be able to discuss it into the transition. If time permits, after public comment, we'll see if there is. We can see if we can get an answer to that. If not, it will be a part of the scope for next cycle. Hopefully we'll be able to get an answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Vanessa. Anu?
Okay, we do not have any additional hands up.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Anu, Paul, and Ms. Rush and Ms. Coles for making the additional additions to our upcoming work plan for the upcoming 24-25 year. Next, we have the topic of digital assistant, our favorite automated friend. Ms. Williams-Hall.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Farmer. I am Terrian D. Williams-Hall, and I have the pleasure of serving as a Metro Access Director. I'm an African-American middle-aged female wearing long hair and a blue and white blouse. As you're likely familiar, our digital assistant is there for assistance when needed. We're implementing a few changes to the system to facilitate ease of use and your customer preferences. So starting next week, that is the week of July 22nd, 2024, callers will only be directed to the digital assistant by selection. So you can expect that starting next week, all calls will be answered by an agent unless and until the customer selects the option to use the digital assistant. The IVR will reflect something like this: to book a trip, press 1. To speak with the res agent, press 1 again. Now, if you do not press 1, you will have the option to use the digital assistant by then pressing 3. Likewise, for Where's My Ride service, you will hear to cancel or check the status of a trip, press 2. Then to speak with the Where's My Ride agent, press 2 again. To use the Where's My Ride digital assistant, again, you can press 3. Now, if the digital assistant is selected for Where's My Ride services, Tim will ask how he can assist you. If you wish to get the status of an imminent trip, you might say something like, "Where's my ride?" Then Tim or the digital assistant will ask you for your ID and find your trip and provide an ETA reflecting real-time traffic conditions. If you don't care to cancel, if you instead care to cancel a trip, then callers could say something like, "I want to cancel a trip." Then Tim will ask for your ID and confirm which trip you want to cancel, and the trip would then be canceled. It's important for you to remember, though, a few specific points that might improve your experience with the digital assistant. Be sure that when you're scheduling your trips that you speak as clearly as possible and use single numbers for addresses. Like instead of saying 6781 Commons, I'm sorry, instead of saying 6000 or 6781 Commons Boulevard, you might say 6781 Commons Boulevard. You want to keep background noise to a minimum. And by all means, give Tim a try during high call volume periods. Now I'll take any questions or concerns.
Okay. I have a few, but I will defer to my committee first. Who do we have, Anu?
Can I go? Or you have somebody?
Ms. Rush raised her hand, but
Okay, Ms. Rush can go.
Okay, Ms. Rush and then Paul.
Okay, everything that you are saying is new instructions. How are people going to know the new instructions?
Right at the beginning of the new IVR, it's going to say, please pay close attention as our menu options have changed. And that's going to be stated several times just before you receive any new instructions. But in fact, I want to clarify though, this is more akin to what it was before we made the recent changes. You've always been able to call in to reservations, press 1 and then 1 again and get an agent. The only difference is before, if you had to wait more than a minute and a half, you immediately got Tim. All we did was remove the option of automatically sending you to Tim based on wait times. Now, the only way you will get to Tim is by pressing option 3, specifically requesting to speak to Tim. Everything else remains the same.
I understand that you're saying that now, but a person who is not on the line, who has been calling in for a long time, that is not straight cut. They don't know anything about number 3. Right. I don't know anything about number 3.
Sure. Most of our customers opt not to speak to the digital assistant. So their experience will remain the same. They'll press 1 for reservations and 1 to speak to an agent like they have from the beginning of time. That has not changed. That remains the same.
And for clarification, Ms. Williams-Hall, you did identify that the system that people have been dialing in on will say, if you wish to use the digital assistant, press 3.
That is the change. That is the change. Instead of the calls automatically going to the thinking machine after a customer has waited a certain amount of time, it will no longer do that. It will automatically go to an agent unless you specifically request to speak to, or I'm sorry, to utilize the digital assistant.
So the default is to a live agent.
That is correct. You have to ask going forward. This starts next week. You would have to request by pressing 3 only if you want to utilize the digital assistant.
Ms. Rush, any supplemental questions?
No, I hope it works. Your department will get the complaints. It won't be from me. It'll be from whomever's trying to book their trip that they don't understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rush.
But just so I can just also add, to be clear about this, in a lot of ways, what we're doing right now is what you had for nearly 25 years.
Yes.
That's what's happening. So if you've been calling Metro Access to schedule your trips for 25 years, that's what we're going back to. The only difference between now, and we learned this a little bit during the transition period, it was a lesson learned. We listened to the customers. They said, if we want to use Tim or the thinking machine, we will let you know when we want to use them, when we want to use it. So what we're saying now is customers will let us know when they want to use it. They will have an option to push the number 3 to work directly with the thinking machine to book their trips, as opposed to Metro, in a sense, giving them the use of the assistant without their upfront request or acknowledgement. That's something we heard from the customers through this process. And so we're listening. And so all we're doing is going back to what you always had, but we're adding that added option if you want to use it, not Metro making you use it.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Paul, do you have a question? Another question on this topic?
Yes, for the digital assistant, Ms. Williams-Halls, we talked about it before. In terms of the web application, I'm able to see that ETA for Where's My Ride, after midnight on that new same day, will up to what time period will Tim be able to do that? If I call Tim and ask for an ETA, as I was, you know, one of the testers.
Right. I'm trying to recall the specifics of your experience, but what it does today is that it's going to give you the estimated time arrival of your next imminent trip if you're within the booking window. If the booking window has already started, then it's going to let you know how long it will be before that vehicle arrives. If the window is not open, it's just going to say you are scheduled for pickup between this time period and repeat your window.
Can I ask a question, Ms. Williams-Hall?
Yes, sir.
Since we're one of the few, I like to say that, 24/7 paratransit services. If I or Paul or Denise, we have a flight leaving Dulles Airport at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, Tim will be available to customers 24/7 who want to use it for Where's
Absolutely, sir. Yes, it's available 24/7.
Yes.
Oh, so Tim will be available 24/7, not just reservation hours.
No, it is currently, the answer is yes. It is currently available on Where's My Ride for 24/7 service.
But you can only book a trip during reservation
Thank
hours.
you, Mr. Blake.
You
Yes.
can't call at 3 in the morning to book a trip. You can call at 3 in the morning to check the status of your next trip.
On Tim. So
On
I will be able
Tim.
to access it through, was it the site on reservations or through Where's My Ride? Would there be an option to access Tim to check on the status of my trip if I don't want to talk to an agent as an
You would,
option?
yes, you would go through the Where's My Ride queue, and instead of pressing 2 to speak to an agent, you would press 3 to speak to the digital assistant. And that will be on the IVR. You will hear that.
Okay, good. And it would just be within that pickup window. It would start. It would be able to give me an ETA. If it's not, so if my trip starts at 9:30 p.m., I would not get an ETA until probably at least, because I was requesting it, an hour before that. But it would be until nine that when that booking window time starts. Is that correct?
That is correct. At 9:30 and 20 seconds, into that 9:30 minute, then you will be able to get your estimated time of arrival.
Okay, got it. All right. Thank you.
Very
Thank
welcome.
you, Paul. Anu, anybody
Okay,
else on the
next.
AAC?
Yes, two more people. Next is Vanessa Coles and then Marcy Goldstein.
Very well, Vanessa. A
Alert.
question on this
Audio
topic
now
regarding
unmuted.
the digital assistant.
Yes, thank you. So sometimes I get a little confused when it comes to me trying to get in touch with a dispatcher to help me with my Uber trips. So it says I do number 2. I was doing 2 and then 1, but now it's 2 and then 3. And then there's sometimes the 3 is for modification. So I guess whenever I'm trying to get some assistance with Uber, I hit the number 2. Then it says if you want to cancel a trip, press 2. But if you want to get in touch with someone, you do 3 at that point. But there's also.
Alma, when you call in for Where's My Ride, you would press option 2. Once you're in the Where's My Ride queue, if you select option 1, that's going to be for instant access where you can cancel your trip through the phone, right? But option 2 takes you directly to an agent. So that would be 2 and then 2 again, and you'll get to an agent. If you
Okay,
want to speak to the digital assistant, then you would press option 3 under that particular IVR branch. But what you're referencing with the 3 is if I called in, I would hear for reservations, press 1. But Where's My Ride? Press 2. And once I go in, you'll get the option for modification. And at that point, that's when you would hear the option 3. Option 3 is for modification is outside of the trip status IVR. I know it's a little bit complicated, but when you call in, it's very intuitive.
Yeah, because the modification, I guess, is taking us back to, I'm sorry, reservations.
That is correct, because to only modify your trip, only reservations can do that. And so for modifications, again, you would only be able to do that during the reservations hours of operation.
Vanessa?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
That was my Lamont reminder. Sorry.
So, do you have any additional questions?
No, it was just a little convoluted, but I mean, I'm getting used to it. But because when I call modifications, I've had some feedback, I guess, from the reservationist. So, but I like that option. I do like that option because sometimes I'm just I have 3 trips and I may have to make a modification because I
Right.
have an appointment. So I do like that option. So thank you. You're
Thank
quite
you, Vanessa.
Is it possible, Ms. Williams Hall, sorry to interject, if this whole new thing with the branching out of choices can be spelled out between working with Ms. Anderson and the customer guide? Because I know it's an effort updating process. Maybe if that was in there, how, the menu was changed and all these options for Tim and the digital assistant could be
Sure.
spelled out in writing for the customer, that might be helpful for
Yeah,
them.
I don't. I don't see why, Mr. Summerford. I think that's a terrific idea. I just look to my leadership for final approval of that, but there's no reason why we can't.
Thank you very much. Anu, we have one more person.
Yes, we have Marcy Goldstein. So Marcy, if you would unmute yourself and ask a question.
Marcy,
speaking, you're on mute. So please unmute yourself.
The will of the people. J.D. Vance is such a man.
Unless your question was answered, Marcy. We will circle back if Marcy becomes unmuted and if she has any additional questions on the topic of the digital assistant. Ms. Williams, so for just brief clarification before we move on to the next topic, you have integrated TIM into the reservations system as well as under the Where's My Ride, and they have been uniformly set up under option 3 under each main line.
That's it exactly, sir. Absolutely. And customers will no longer be compelled to talk to the thinking machine. They'll only ever interfere with it if they request.
One more question as it relates to that. If I go into the reservation option and I choose 1 to get a live agent, while I am on hold waiting for the agent, like some of these systems, like your banking and other systems, will there be a point where maybe the system will come in and say, hey, you've been holding for whatever, not a specific amount of time, but will it allow them to choose to switch over to the digital assistant, or at that point, are you committed to the live agent?
The iteration that's rolling out next week, unfortunately, you are committed once you make that selection. But I think that's an excellent idea. We'll look at incorporating that further down the road. We just want to make sure that the customers easily adopt to this change as we're incorporating their feedback right now. And so we don't want to throw too much out there that kind of contradicts what we're trying to do. So right now, now that we've heard the feedback, they only want to hear it when they want to hear it. We're going to ride that out for a little bit. Let's see the customer's response, and then we'll make any changes after that. But that is an awesome suggestion, and we'll make note of that.
Surely. And under the newest option with the option 2 for Where's My Ride, if you choose Tim, does the system give clear options? Like if you say help or what are my choices or stuff like that, is that an option?
Yes, it's going to ask you, how can I help you? And then what we recommend is that you say, where's my ride? For example, if you want to know where your vehicle is, or you might say, for example, I want to cancel my trip. If you want to cancel your trip, because the only two things that it can do for you under where's my ride is tell you what time you can expect your vehicle to arrive and cancel a trip. Anything outside of that comes, it is going to transfer you over to an agent.
I understand. Now, and last piece of clarification, unless Mr. Blake has a comment before we transition to him in the next topic. The Where's My Ride digital assistant is only responding to Metro Access vehicles. I'm assuming this does not include Uber or other forms of abilities ride.
That is my understanding right now. It is only on our dedicated service. Yes.
Very well.
Mr. Farmer, Marcy has unmuted herself. So Marcy, go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I had trouble unmuting myself.
No problem.
I am a little concerned when you said speak very clearly. Some people have speech difficulties. If anyone in the call center familiar with that kind of disability.
So the concern that Marcy's identified is that you have a person with a speech disability. Obviously, that would make it challenging for the digital assistant. So does anyone in the call center prepared to work with someone with a speech disability?
So, Mr. Farmer, I could certainly share with you my expectation, but perhaps this is a question better answered by our OCC provider.
Okay.
Absolutely. This is Grover Parham. Grover. I am Caucasian, glasses, and I have no hair. Our expectation, and I think this is where Ms. Williams Hall is going also, is that we will have individuals here who are trained to be patient. One of our focal points with the team here is to be patient, to be kind, and to be helpful. So much can happen in a conversation when we just focus on what our purpose is, and that is to serve people. It's my perspective that the technical aspects of getting people their trip data and those things, those will take care of themselves if we are focused on serving you. So we will have people in the call center who are there, understand that they need to be patient, and we need to work together to serve our purpose here. And that is to make sure that each of you have secure and safe transportation as you require it. I think there are probably options in building out TIM also in future iterations. I'm sure Ms. Tarian's looking into these things as well, where the option to either state that you would like to cancel a trip or press one. You know, that a lot of times there are numerical options to go along with things that can be spoken, and that may be a way that we can make that more accessible as well. But as far as the call center itself, we are going to be training people to be patient and to be kind and to be helpful.
Okay. I'm just
curious. Marcy, did you have a supplemental question? Thank you, Mr. Grover.
To that point, our goal is to provide as many ways of serving the customers as possible. So first and foremost, to Ms. Goldstein's question and to Grover's point, starts with being fully staffed with great, compassionate, caring, empathetic individuals. And that's not that we didn't have it before, we just need more of them and more who are committed to the long-term opportunity that this represents. So that's first and foremost. Once you get past the human capital, which is always most critical, yes, TIM is a voice activated system at this time. So that may pose challenges in some cases, but that's why we want to be fully staffed on the text side as well for those who would like to use text messaging as an option also. So what we're trying to do is provide a range of options that all of our customers can use. They choose whichever one is most convenient and most accessible to them. And we want to make sure that either the technology is meeting your needs and or the human capital is there to support you, be it a phone call or a text message or some other technology such as chat, which is a little different than text messaging, but it's kind of the same ballpark. So we're going to continue to create opportunities and find opportunities so that everyone is served equally, both in terms of the accessibility, but also in terms of their satisfaction.
And Mr. Blake, to that end, is it possible, as we close on this topic, that we still hold open for those who are able to text their reservations in while we're going through this transition period as another, as you said, communication option?
Yes, there are still a few
people. The email option?
Oh, I'm sorry. There are still a few people using the text message as the option, but what I think you're going to find is, despite Marcia's points earlier, where you're right, we're not where we want to be, but I think when you look at, because myself and Terry, and we're watching these metrics like a laser. Not that we didn't before, but we're on them because this is new and we don't want people to get kind of comfortable and then catch back up. And to the team, they're working really hard and doing their thing. But right now, for the most part, not every minute of every hour, that's what we're working on. But for the most part, I think you're going to find that getting through the phone lines, especially for booking trips, is much more convenient today than even texting would be. The time you take to text your various trips, especially if you have 4 or 5 trips plus the round trips, you're going to be much quicker just calling in because the staffing is building and it's continuing to grow. So we want you to get back to what you were used to and what you know, and that is calling the reservationist and having them be professional, polite, and caring and courteous and booking your trips. That's what we want to get to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake, Paul, Marcy, Grover. Did anyone come on to that list for that specific topic, or we will transition to the next topic anew?
Farmer, we do not have any additional hands up at this point.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to the Metro Access Transportation Option Update. Mr. Blake.
And this one we were not able to get to, and Mr. Blake, I'm talking about dedicated, non-dedicated providers and all that good stuff. Now we are able to finally get to it before our work here.
Yeah, no problem. And so I think someone mentioned, I believe it was Ms. Rush or Ms. Cole, someone mentioned the customer guide. We're going to be updating the customer guide with all of the various options we're bringing to the customers. And right now, again, what we always do, we listen to you, you know, well, we'll come with our ideas, but then Ms. Rush will say things like, our customers are going to be so confused by this dedicated, non-dedicated. I don't know what you're up to, Blake. What's going on here? So what we've decided to do, we're going to incorporate, and we are incorporating the non-dedicated providers. These are van services. All of them are wheelchair accessible vehicles that are providing door-to-door service. The only difference between their minivans and the Metro Access minivans is one has the Metro logo on it, the other one does not. But instead of, and originally these trips were going to be the regular Metro trips and you're going to pay the fare. For now, and we'll let you know when that changes, but for now, the way we've been incorporating the non-dedicated providers is by having them perform the door-to-door service, having them use the wheelchair accessible vehicles, but we're treating them as abilities ride trips, meaning everyone who's testing out these trips and enjoying them, in some cases have some concerns about them, these trips are free of charge, just like all the other abilities ride trips are right now. So eventually they'll become, quote unquote, the true industry kind of standard non-dedicated. But for now, they're really just more abilities ride providers until we really get a chance to truly inform and educate the entire ridership and document it in the customer guide as well. So we're going to have a few months where these vehicles will be providing door-to-door service, but they'll be doing so as abilities ride trips that are free of charge, selected by the lottery, and not regularly scheduled Metro Access trips.
Mr. Blake, are you prepared to identify who our additional providers will be? And
oh, I'm sorry.
Person oh, yes. You know, I wanted that. That was my question. Oh, okay. I already discovered one of them.
So, yeah. So we've added 7 companies to our service portfolio, if you will. One company is called Userb, and several of you have already taken part in rides with User. That day we had the, in fact, you all were the very first customers. So User looks a lot like Uber in that it serves the entire region and they provide door-to-door service as just part of their normal business. So that's one company. Another company is called DMV Medical. They are generally providing Medicaid transportation and wheelchair accessible vehicles. This company is providing a few trips per day that begin in Washington, D.C. So that's DMV Medical. Then we have We Drive You. Now that sounds familiar, right? Well, We Drive You is also the company I mentioned who won the contract for our Metro Access service delivery. And again, if you all remember and you know Robbie Wirth, who started off as Diamond, he's now part of National Express, which changed its name to We Drive You. Well, in addition to the Metro Access service, they're also doing non-dedicated service, and they're doing trips that are in Virginia and in Washington, D.C. Fourth company is called KTS Transportation. They're a minority-owned company right here out of the Maryland, Virginia area. They're providing wheelchair accessible door-to-door trips primarily in southern Prince George's County. So that's called KTS. And you'll eventually get to meet all of them, but we're just trying to onboard them now. The next company you're familiar with also is Regency. They're part of the Abilities Ride program already, but they've also now will be providing non-dedicated service, wheelchair accessible vehicles, door-to-door service in Montgomery County. Then we have next to last is not in order, but Navarre Corporation. They're a wheelchair accessible van service that's providing door-to-door service also in Virginia. And then finally, you all are familiar with Yellow Cab. They're part of the Abilities Ride program, of course, but they also have a wheelchair accessible door-to-door portion of their service, and they'll be providing service in Washington, D.C. We'll be adding, I forgot to mention, USERV. Well, I did say they're all over the region. They're doing a lot of trips right now in northern Prince George's County, as well as a few in Washington and a few in Virginia. So, what we've tried to do is onboard everybody. They don't have as many vehicles as they're eventually going to have. So, there'll be more opportunities for people to win the lottery, if you will. But we think we've at least covered the entire Metro Access service area with some wheelchair accessible door-to-door service that resembles everything else about the Abilities Ride program, including the fact that the trips are free of charge. So we think that's a good thing. We're just getting started. We're only a month and a half into it. And by the time we get back in September, we should have a whole lot more vehicles and a lot more information to share with you about these various services we're bringing to your opportunities to use.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. So another question would be metrics. I would say that that is value oriented to the AAC to understand how the distribution of trips are going, their ability to run on time. Those are just two of the metrics that I think will bring value to the AAC so that we understand how the resource is being dispersed across the customer base.
Yeah, that's a fair request. And as we get towards September and we talk more about it, I think we certainly could work on a way of bringing some measurable data to the committee. That's not a problem.
Thank you. Paul, any additional questions on your part first before I?
So with the non-dedicated service providers, when will we get notice? Usually some of the providers will give notice the night before, like Yellow Cab, I'll see a text. Now, will we at least get at minimum maybe an hour? I know sometimes it's been 2 hours, but from what I've been getting, it's been mixed where it's just you don't get it until the last moment. Is there any possible standardization where these companies at least an hour beforehand say, hey, it's not going to be a Metro Access vehicle, it's going to be this service provider that's picking you up? by some kind of text or because each of them are different. You sir obviously did it the night before. Yellow Cap does it the night before, but the others is kind of you don't find out until the window begins.
No, you're right. And some of these things we definitely want to standardize. Night before is the goal, or if your trip wasn't selected by the lottery until the morning of,
yeah,
it's as soon as we have informed them, we want them to inform you. Now, some of the things we're looking at.
The only one I'm hearing from is Yellow Cab. The only way I know it's from Old Dominion, obviously, is I have their numbers. So I just called the day before and I can hear it on the queue because they have my number. They're like, oh, you have a trip, you know, automated, that type of thing. But for one who uses old gets trips sometimes selected for Old Dominion, that's the only way I'm able to find out. I have to call. Well, I figured out the number over time, and you know, on that same day of service, and it's like, oh, you got these trips out in Northern Virginia. Instead of them, the only other time I would find out is as my window begins or 20 minutes before my window begins.
Yeah, but that's not the plan, and that's not the design. So I'm going to follow up as we're working with all, because now those are our abilities ride providers. So we're going to be working with all of them across the board to improve their customer notification. And I always make the case to each of them, the more they communicate with you as the customer, the less money it's going to cost them for missed trips or late cancellations or things like that, that a simple phone call or at least a notification by text would help them avoid. So I will follow up to find out what's going on with Old Dominion in terms of any prior notification. If they're coming up short in that area, I'll have to remind them to pick up the pay.
But more particularly with them, because as a taxi, they push out taxis. They start looking 20 minutes before that window time period opens. So it's like sometimes they may get one and bam, it's coming right there, a little bit maybe before the window. So if I know it's them, then I know to be ready a little bit earlier, for particularly those versus a Metro Access vehicle. So I can be there, ready to go, and, you know, keep it moving.
Oh, no, I'm with you on how they dispatch vehicles and the timing, but that really doesn't impact their I won't say requirement, but their best interest to notify you the night before.
Yeah, well, and ahead of time, great, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, any final questions before I move to see if there's anybody else on the AAC, Paul?
Sure. See if there's anyone else on this particular topic before we ask Mr. Blake if there's an August surprise.
Miss Rush had unmuted herself, so I'm just wondering, Miss Rush, were you trying to make some comments on this topic? Okay, I guess not. So Vanessa, not I see your hand is up.
Audio now unmuted.
Vanessa, okay. Go right ahead.
So many questions. And I'm happy about this because I do have a couple of friends that do wheelchair. Mr. Blake, is there still a parameter limit for them as far as how far they are allowed to go? And they would call in regular MetroX the same way we do Uber, and one of those companies will be selected, or if they know of the companies, but they prefer one over the other?
So two good questions. Yes, there is a limitation on the non-dedicated providers. All of them are limited to trips no more than 10 miles from now. Regency's non-dedicated service is going up to 15 miles a trip. But right now, yes, there is a mileage limitation. But also keep in mind, there's one technically on abilities ride as well, although it can fluctuate depending on demand. But yes, the non-dedicateds are basically 10 miles or less, more like kind of like shuttle type services. In terms of customer preference, we always welcome a customer telling us who they prefer to use, and we do our best to run a fair and objective lottery and then see if adjustments can be made. But there are restrictions. I mean, let's let's use abilities, right? Let's say you're being picked up in Washington, D.C., but you prefer to ride in Silver Cab. Well, we can't give you a Silver Cab out of Washington, D.C. because Silver Cab can only pick you up in Prince George's, as an example. So it would be the same thing. Let's say you really like We Drive You, but you're being picked up in Upper Marlboro. Well, Upper Marlboro would be KTS, not We Drive You, because that's where, you know, We Drive You is not in Upper Marlboro. There, KTS is there. So we do listen to customers. We make adjustments where we can. But generally speaking, the lottery is already set up based on where the companies are operating and where the customer is being picked up.
Alert. Audio. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Vanessa, did you have a supplemental question?
Yes, I wanted to ask, what happens if they are no-showed? Because I had an experience with Yellow Cab. I didn't hit the link, but they automatically started coming towards my job, and it was 15 minutes and before I was due to get off. So are they going to wait until my window actually opens, or are we going to be no-showed, or is someone else going to come back and get us? How would that happen?
No, yeah, they've been told not to pick up a customer prior to the start of their pickup window. Now, if you find the case where somebody has done that to you or picked you up prior to getting there or leaving you, let's say they do notify you that a vehicle is on its way, and even if it arrives 15 minutes early, if they stay there and wait for you, that's not a problem. If they leave because they arrive 15 minutes early and you're not ready, you need to let you need to let the OCC know that so we can send another vehicle to pick you up, but also let us know that so we can follow up with the company and remind them of their duty to our customers and what the rules are in terms of the pickup time.
I'm just saying, Mr. Blake, particularly with Yellow Cab, they're famous. I mean, they source it out to try to get there before the window, but they've come early. They're like, you know, you're ready now, or if you're not ready, they cancel the trip. And I've just called the call center. They tried to call, move it to Uber. I'm not going through that.
No, you're right. And if they do that, I'll talk to them about that as well. But if they do that, it hurts them more than anything. Now, it's an inconvenience to the customer, but like you said, you know, if they leave you, you're going to get Uber and you're going to get it pretty quickly and you're going to use your app and do all that good stuff because it's becoming more and more convenient. So it's in the local company. We're working with local companies to help give them an opportunity to level the playing field against these big national corporations. But if they or their drivers who they're working with show impatience and don't follow the rules, it's hurting them more than it's hurting anybody else.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Vanessa, any final question on this topic of non-dedicated service? Okay, great. Anu, anybody else?
Mr. Farmer, we have one person on iPhone, and I believe if this individual is a member of the public, we will be beginning the public comment section at 5:35.
We are open to, if this person is a public, let me hold for just about a minute, and we will make that transition. That is the last person that you see who wishes to speak?
Yes.
Okay, they will be the first at public comment.
Actually, we have one other person who had given their name before.
Oh, okay. We'll bring in both of them. Sure. We're ready for them. Mr. Blake, it's time. It's time for the August surprise. What you got for us, if anything?
Let me tell you, we've been working so hard on this transition and trying to onboard these other non-dedicated providers and getting the OCC straightened out and transitioning Metro Access drivers from one base to another. I've just been too busy to come up with a surprise for you all this year, but I'm going to take a vacation next week. So who knows what may come to mind when I'm in the air, you know, flying somewhere. But right now, I can promise you that there are no August surprises on the horizon. We're going to go into August with everything we have currently. We're going to come out of August with everything you have currently. If we could find something nicer, fresher, and better to simply add, I will certainly look at doing so. But in terms of removing anything, changing anything significantly, I think Ms. Williams Hall and I and the whole team could agree we need a break after this transition. So we're going to save all the surprises for another time. Let's put it that way.
All right. So right now, to be clear, the promotional fares are still going to remain in effect for the time being, in the foreseeable future. That's number one. I guess that's what most people want to hear. And number two, I do want to compliment your team in getting a little bit better with the Ubers. And instead of you putting out who wants to have an Uber, you kind of got to know which customers who opted for Abilities Ride by sending them out early in the morning, so it doesn't create that type of backlog and get the links. So I do want to end in that good note that y'all are, despite everything going on with the call center, you're still trying to efficiently get transportation, timely transportation out to people to make very good on that performance measure of getting customers picked up within the window by using whatever resources and leverage as best as you can, even during these times.
Well, and I appreciate that, Paul, on behalf of the whole team. And that's what we're trying to do, because it's not our desire to lock people into a certain type of service. We look at every trip every day, and yes, the customers are speaking loud and clear which service they like and which one they prefer to use. Again, we can't give it to everybody every single day.
Oh no, we know that, there's a
No.
lot of it and everything else, but
But
the
when
fact
that
that like,
really,
oh yeah, when that happens, it's more, you're getting a little bit more efficient in rolling that out so that it's not, that whole text thing is not blown up and it takes 30, 40 minutes, that type of thing, to roll that, that back to people.
Correct. Now you're right, and so we're listening to the customers. We want them to be happy and satisfied. And yes, the promotional fare is still going to be around after August. It's something I personally believe in. I think the industry as a whole needs to take a look at that kind of
Mr. Blake?
Mr. Farmer, this is an
Let's,
I think there may be some technical issues.
I will take that as an opportunity to transition and
Public
give
comment.
the time to the public, as it is necessary that they have an opportunity to speak as well. Anu, 2 minutes for everyone.
Yes, so we have three
Everyone,
people at this point for
give me
us
1
to
second.
be sure.
Everyone, be concise. Do not, yeah, I am saying this as a courtesy. If you are concise, Mr. Blake or anyone else on the Metro team will be able to answer your question in a timely manner. That may provide enough time for a supplemental question. If not, understand everyone on the public comment list should have an opportunity to speak. And then, if time permits, and there are additional people who wish to speak, we will circle back. Anu, how many people do we have on the list right now?
I'm sorry, can I say one more thing, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Blake?
Oh yeah, I apologize. I don't know what happened. The computers over here just went down. But real quick, let me just say to Paul, he made a great point earlier, is that when he and other customers, Vanessa and others called in, there was only a handful of people who can move trips to Uber. One of the things we are going to try to do under this new management is give all the dispatchers access to the tool and the ability to move a trip to Uber so that all those customers who may call in or need some assistance for whatever reason, it doesn't get bottlenecked with supervisors or a handful of people. But we're spreading the wealth, we're trusting the individuals, and we think it's going to make your experience overall, whether you're using Uber or not, a lot better when interacting with the call center.
We absolutely look forward to the additional manpower. So that will be a wonderful addition. Anu, how many do we have as of right now?
Okay, so at this point, we have three people. It would be Denise first, and then second person is on an iPhone, and the third person is Libra Robinson. So Denise, if you would unmute.
Denise, I'm going to ask as a courtesy to the public if Denise does not mind letting the others of the public go first.
Say it again.
Mr. Farmer, this is not Ms. Rush. This
not
is
Ms. Rush. A different no. Denise.
Yes.
My apologies. Denise, go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. So I just want to say good evening to, or good afternoon to everyone. I am a Metro Access writer. I actually know who Mr. Blake is. He knows who I am. I've been writing Metro Access since 2006. I have incurred really great service times with you, and I've incurred really bad service times with you all. I actually had an incident yesterday. I was going to a comedy show yesterday at the Warner Theater, and they scheduled me with the cab. I have a scooter, electric scooter. I used to have a wheelchair, but now I'm in a scooter. When the cab got here, it was unfortunately a Toyota, which has no place for me to get my scooter, so I could not get in. It took an entire hour for me to get someone on Metro Access to get the right type of vehicle to come to get me. I got to my event late. When you pay for things and you have to be there a certain time, it was very frustrating because I thought I wasn't even going to make the show and I was going to lose out my money on my tickets. Even when they transferred me over to a supervisor, it's still holding on the phone, but still two different times, was 15 minutes the first time and it was 20 minutes the second time. So a whole hour went by before I could get someone to reschedule my trip. The dispatcher from the cab service actually called me and said that when Metro Access gave them information, it did not tell them that I needed accessible vehicle. So they just sent a regular vehicle. This has happened to me several times before where they send me the wrong type of vehicle and I either don't make it to where I'm going or I make it there extremely late. So that has not changed. And I do appreciate sending a cab, but if you're going to send the wrong type of vehicle, then that doesn't help me. And it took me a whole hour to get through, to get the right type of vehicle to get where I was going. I hear you all say, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, no. If you have more to say on that matter, I'll continue to listen. If not, I'll see who on the Metro team can answer that immediately, or unless they have to research the trip itself.
I'm sorry.
So the floor still remains to you.
What I want to say is, I've been writing a long time, as I said, since 2006. The service is really great sometimes, but those days when we have issues, it just seems like it's so frustrating as a customer. And I hear you all say, and I know you have all these different entities that can pick us up, but if that is the case, if you got Abilities Ride, if you got Cab Serve, you got Uber, you got this, then why are we still getting picked up late? Why are you sending the wrong type of vehicle to get picked up in or not getting picked up at all? Like, it's not making sense to me.
Thank you, Denise. Any comment from Metro representatives?
Well, yeah, and you know, we don't want what happened to Ms. DeBose to happen, but she definitely has my personal number. She could have called me, and I certainly would have addressed the issue far sooner than an hour. So I asked, and I put my number out not to be, you know, nice or whatever, but it's for situations like that. Call me so I can get involved.
On a Sunday.
No, I'm 24/7. So I've never put a time restraint on anyone calling me. Paul Semaphore can attest, I think he's called me all sorts of times. If there's a situation like that, you need to call me. You have my personal number. I will check to see about the vehicle type because, yes, I know you utilize a mobility device. So your name is pretty standard in how that company assigned the wrong vehicle. Could it have been an error on what we sent over? Anything's possible, but let me check on that. But the main thing right now is, please, my number is there for a reason. I'm here to serve. Call me when situations arise like that so I can get involved and bring quick resolution to the greatest extent possible that I can to situations that you've just described.
Can you give me your number again, Mr. Blake? Because I know I've had it in the past, but it seems like when I called a couple of different times, like there was a different voicemail. I wasn't sure if it was you, so I didn't leave a message.
Okay, so my number is 202-281-9984.
Mm-hmm. You broke up the last two. Say it again, the first last four.
8984.
Okay, thank you. And that was frustrating. I almost didn't make my event yesterday, and I was very quite irritated yesterday because Robert got here at six. I'm sorry, at 5:45. And so I got there a little bit late, but I did get there. But I did give a shout out to the dispatch person who did with Fantasia that helped me get the ride, and to Miss Love was a driver. She knew her way through the city, so she was able to, you know, going in DC can be hectic during the week or anytime when you're trying to, and I'm in Maryland, PG County. So I appreciated those two for actually helping me facilitate the situation. But I did have a couple more things I want to say if my time is not.
It is, unfortunately. So we will circle back if time permits.
Okay.
So Denise, we'll circle back, Denise. Next, Anu.
Next is somebody on iPhone. So if you would unmute yourself and state your name, and then please make your comments.
Hi, my name is Pamela White. Black female. This is a question for the new company. Will the new company be going in, since it's a new company, will they go in the areas where the buses are not going, so I might be able to go to certain places that I'm not able to go to right now?
Mr. Blake or
so Ms. White, no. Yeah, we have not expanded the Metro Access service area. The victory by the ACC and disability stakeholders in general with the last budget round is that we've maintained the current and already expanded service area. But if let's say back in June, you were not able to travel to a point on a Sunday or a Saturday or even on a weekday, unfortunately, we still haven't expanded that where that would be the case for you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Ms. White.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Anu.
Next would be Libra Robinson. So if you would unmute yourself, and when you start speaking, the timer will begin.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I have a two-part question. My first question is to the gentleman from the call center. Now, again, my name is Libra Robinson, and I'm the president of Greater Washington, D.C. chapter for the National Federation of the Blind. And I heard you say that you're going to be employing new employees to the call center, to reservations. Are you prepared to hire blind and low vision persons? And if so, do you have the equipment like JAWS, which is a screen reader, and Zoom Text, which is a magnifier? Because we've had many of our members try to apply for employment with the previous call centers, and they were not equipped with those type of equipment that would assist a blind or low vision person. And my second question is for Mr. Blake. Now, this just came to my mind. If, God forbid, a client is in a Metro Access, is there an emergency exit that the client can use? And if so, where is it and how do we use it?
Okay, Mr. Grover and Mr. Blake.
Yes, I'll go first. So there are no emergency exits per se. Now that we have, you know, we don't have one vehicle type. So if you're in a sedan, obviously, the exit is whichever door you can open and leave out of. Usually, it's the door that you're sitting next to if you're in a sedan. If you're in a minivan, there are sliding doors on both sides of the vehicle, as well as rear doors in the back. So there are sliding doors on both sides of the minivan. And then there's, again, two doors that can open in the back. And if you're in one of the four transit lift vehicles, that has rear doors in the back, although that's a little more challenging to get to. And there's a front door opposite of the driver's side. But I don't think in any of the vehicles they're deemed emergency exits. In the tradition of a building, let's say, that we have not designated any particular door
as the emergency exit, because as you say, God forbid there's an accident, we don't know which side of the vehicle the impact will be on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Mr. Grover, I know that's not your last name.
Oh, his last name is Parham. That's Parham.
Thank you.
I answer Parham to a lot of things.
Thank you, though. Okay.
So we welcome the question. We certainly encourage everyone who wishes to work in the call center to apply. We currently have various people who are employed with us who have different disabilities. And we're happy to work with them and develop reasonable accommodations for whoever would like to work and is capable of doing the job. So we have people with disabilities employed with us currently, both at this call center and across the country. So if you have members in your organization who are interested in having a job and the position is posted, we would welcome their application and would welcome the opportunity to figure out if this would be a good fit for them.
Is there a website?
Excuse me. This is Ms. Rush. Sir, you didn't really answer the question. The question was, do you have JAWS or talking equipment to assist a blind person? I thought that was the question.
So I know that we have different tools available. I don't know if we have that particular one or if we have other ones. So again, that would be a conversation that we'd have to have with that individual in our HR department to determine what tools would be necessary for them to be able to work at the level that we expect. So I can't answer that direct question. I would say that the takeaway here is that if somebody's interested in having a job with us, that they'd be encouraged to apply, and we'll try to make every effort to accommodate them.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Thank you.
Do you have a website as well, or a phone number a person can call for HR?
So that website, I can put it in the chat here, is going to be transdevna.com, and there's a link to our jobs from there.
You'll be able to relay that. If anybody calls and is unable to access that information from the chat, if you call the main number, Anu or one of the members on the ADA team at 202-962-1100, we'll be able to get that website to you, as well as a number if there is a number listed on the website.
Sure, we can do that.
That would be most appreciated, I'm sure. Libra, thank you very much for your question. Do you have any supplemental questions before I see if we have anybody else?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay.
Libra.
This is Anu. Barbara Bell. May I interject, please?
Barbara.
Thank you. Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities at Metro. I can verify that MV did have assistive technology as on-site for the call center employees for screen magnification software.
So as to say, it is reasonable to say that if there's magnification, there is likely, at least at a minimum, the ability to access speech as well further down the line as a reasonable accommodation. But that, as you said, is a question to be had between HR and a part of a reasonable accommodation request if the potential employee meets the specifications to perform the task.
Correct.
Very well. Thank you, Barbara.
So we have one person on phone. The last phone number, four digits of the phone numbers are 1882. If you would please unmute yourself and start when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Hello, everyone. Hey. My name is Sandy Falk. Question is regarding the Where's My Ride? Now I book my trip through Metro Access, and mostly they send me a Uber. And at times the Uber driver Well, they arrive on their way to pick me up. They usually cancel the trip. So I usually, when they do that, when I get the notification, I usually call, where's my ride? And then they will rebook my trip. Now, do I still have that option to call, where's my ride, in case the Uber driver canceled my trip?
Mr. Blake?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Anytime the Uber drivers cancel or Uber cannot find a vehicle for you immediately, you absolutely can call, where's my ride? And a staff member, and again, as Mr. Farmer pointed out, we're trying to grow the number of people who will be able to assist you. But also, in another feature that has been added to the program, I don't know if any of the members have experienced it yet. I tried to take a few mystery trips and it didn't occur for me yet because nothing was canceled. But before you have to call, where's my ride? What we've built into the Uber app or Uber program for you is that if your driver cancels the trip, instead of you receiving that text message that says, please call Metro Access because your trip has been canceled or something to that effect, now what's going to happen is that Uber is going to send you a brand new link for that same trip that you will then just re-click on it again to request a vehicle. So we're trying to help keep you from needing to call where's my ride for a canceled Uber trip. But yes,
thank you.
Okay, well, but if that doesn't work, you can always call the where's my ride for a human agent to assist you. But what we're going to do moving forward is have Uber send you a brand new link instead of that message for you to call Metro Access.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mr. Blake, because that was one of the concerns I had over time, having to go through the call center and request that, especially when it's at high volume, to be able to request that. So thank you for that enhancement.
Yes.
Barbara, go ahead.
I would like to report that my personal experience has been that no link was sent because no link was required. It automatically in the Uber app looked for another driver when the first Uber driver canceled.
Oh, yes, see, what
I am familiar with what you're referring to, Barbara. There have been Uber trips like you're describing that will book out. Sometimes it'll cancel, auto look for another vehicle. Maybe it'll do that two more times sometimes. And then it may do a full cancel. And I think what Mr. Blake is describing is if it fully cancels out after maybe like, let's say, three attempts or three drivers cancel, then a new link will populate. Is that accurate, Mr. Blake?
That is correct. I just don't have the number of times it tries, but that is what we're talking about. Yes. What we're trying to do is avoid that text message that many of you get that says your trip has been canceled. Please call Metro Access. We're trying to avoid that.
So what I've noticed with one who uses a lot, I have not really seen that lately because Uber keeps trying and finding it. So I said, oh, there's a noticeable improvement after I reported that keep happening. So I guess what you've implemented is beginning to take hold.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I just haven't had the experience yet, but I've been trying to get it just so I could be able to talk more about it. But if you all are experiencing some noticeable change, that's a positive.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blake. I do know that Denise did wish to speak. We don't have a lot of time. And Denise, I believe you feel like it may exceed 2 minutes. Please follow up with Denise. She did place her number in the chat. Anu, you did respond, and you have acquired the number to pass on to the appropriate Metro staff.
Yes, right. I'm still here. And okay. It's 5:54, so she still has time to make her additional comments.
We have a few minutes, Denise. So the floor is yours for at least 2 to 3 minutes.
All right.
So I had another issue recently. I called the eligibility office because I was due to renew my eligibility. And I can't remember the lady's name right now, but I did call the customer service because she was actually quite rude. All I did was ask her after I told her what I was calling about my eligibility. And in the middle of talking, like she just hung up the phone. Like, and you can tell when somebody hangs up the phone, it's not just a drop call. All I did was ask her, who am I speaking with? And she, next thing I know, she was gone. Like she took a deep pause and then she hung up the phone. And I was like, that's so rude. If you're there to help somebody, you should be there to help them. Like, why do you not want to give your name? Like, I just felt like that's, I feel like sometimes the customers, when you call and you're talking to these dispatchers or whoever you're talking to, it's almost like they feel like they make us feel like they're doing us a favor. This is the job that you chose to do. I'm just calling, just trying to get assistance. So for you to hang on, when I call back to the number and press the option, I could tell it was the same person. It was the same voice and the same. So I know it was the same person I was talking to, but she tried to act like as if it wasn't her. You know your voices. And I did call customer service.
Do we have a representative on from eligibility at this time?
I represent them as well. But listen, I can say that's surprising to hear. I'm not doubting it. But again, Mr. Bolson, for all customers, it's a lot easier for me to address these type of situations if you call me right after it occurs. Because, like, when did this happen by any chance?
I called customer service and reported it. So if they will have all the information. But it was probably maybe a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I didn't know that you were involved in that. So if I know, you know, I definitely would have called you. Because, you know, I stay on top of my stuff. But I just felt like that was just so inappropriate. Like,
I can follow up and see if there's any recordings. I'll look for your number. But again, it's a lot easier for me to address things the minute it happens, as opposed to weeks or days later. While I still can find information, it just makes it a little more challenging as recordings get overwritten over time. Certainly don't want anybody to be rude to anybody under any circumstances. It really surprised me to hear from the eligibility office, but I will follow up. Let me see if I can track down your number and the call when it was made, and let's see who I can address with the map.
So
let's get a new to clear up. But we have our sign language interpreters who are about to log off. Let's clear that out, and then we can see if Mr. Blake can answer your question or get your number and he can follow up with you.
Yes, because I have a lot of other concerns. I've been riding a long time. I've been having quite a few different issues, not just me, but I'm just going to speak on my behalf. I definitely have other concerns. Let me just ask this one last question.
Wait till we clear the line.
I'm going to call tomorrow. I'm going to have all the time in the world for you, Mr. Bosch. You have my number. You've always had it. Give me a call. It shocks me to hear you saying you're having all these problems when I haven't heard from you in nearly 6 months or more, but that's good. Give me a call and I will address.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anu.
Hey, so Sandy, did you raise your hand again? Did you have any additional comments?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Let's get our closing messages and then I'll call for an adjournment.
All right. So I just want to state that if any members of the public would like to make any public comments before or after the meeting, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement.
As everyone knows, this is the final meeting until September's AAC meeting. The first Monday of the month is the holiday, so the meeting will be shifted by one day to the Tuesday for the AAC meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So move. And we want to thank Mr. Farmer for facilitating this wonderful meeting.
Okay. I don't think I need a second. If I do.
Nope.
Okay. Great. The meeting is adjourned.
Great meeting, everybody. Take care. Have a great summer.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. I just want to remind that we do have the AAC application recruitment still going on. So if you anybody's interested, particularly from Northern Virginia, please do encourage them to submit their applications. And we will see you in September. Have a good summer.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You too. Thanks.